Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, we're talking the 3rd century Babylonia. La'olam yasok adam b'torah mitzvah shelo lishma. Forever, la'olam, always. A person should be engaged in Torah and mitzvot shelo lishma. It's not so easy to translate, but I guess I translated my title for the wrong reason. Shemitok shelo lishma. From doing it for the wrong reason, balishma, a person will come to do mitzvot lishma, for the right reason. This saying appears at least 7 times in the Talmud. I'm going to start with what I think is the most important piece of literature written in the last, 200 years, on Tisha B'Av, but it's the most important piece we should read on Tisha B'Av. I often mention it, and that's the introduction of the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was, by the way, a lot of people quoting Rabbi Soloveitchik, he was the great-great-grandfather of Rabbi Soloveitchik. The Netziv's granddaughter married Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. That's Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik's son was Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, and of course, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik's son, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ber Soloveitchik. So the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Volozhin Yeshiva. That was the greatest of all yeshivot in Eastern Europe. He was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years of the yeshiva. Yeshiva was closed in 1892. Netziv died in 1893. That was his life. The yeshiva, no yeshiva, no life. So he wrote that he was very unusual in many respects. But one of the things he did, he used to give a parsha, a shir and chumash every day in the yeshiva, not just a gemara shir. And the comments of those shir was later what we know today as the Emek Davar. I don't know how many people have an Emek Davar at home. It's towards the end. Yeah. Anybody have one at home? Nobody has an Emek Davar. One person, wow. The rest of you have to go shopping after Tisha B'Av. Okay. So he has a very, I think, a well-known, it's a very, very powerful one-page introduction to Bereishit. How many people know the introduction? I'm not supposed to ask questions, but it's the end of the day on Tisha B'Av, so anything goes. Who's familiar with his introduction to Sefer Bereishit? Okay, you'll be in. So it's on the last page. We start backwards because that's the way I do things. It's the last source on the second sheet. Hamek Davar Bereishit Pitcha LeSefer Bereishit. The Netziv is wondering why Chazal gave one of the name of the Sefer Bereishit, one of the names in Chazal is known as Sefer Hayashar, the Book of the Straight. And he wants to know, what does it mean, why Sefer Bereishit called Yashar? We know there's a pasuk in Chumash, Vasita Hayashar Vatov, you should do the straight and the good. That's the obligation we derive from that pasuk. We're going to read it this Shabbos. It's in Parshat Vatchanan. We're going to read it this Shabbos, Vasita Hayashar Vatov. The Ramban considers this really, along with Kedoshim to you, as perhaps the 2 most important verses in the Torah. The 2 most the meta laws of the Torah. The Torah has many, many laws, but it can't say everything. So it tells you, Kedoshim to you, which tells you how to act in our relationship to God. I can't tell you everything, but be a holy person. Don't be a naval b'shut ha-Torah. Don't be a disgusting person with the permission of the Torah. Person could theoretically sleep in every day till 11 o'clock in the morning, have 6 packs of beer, smoke marijuana, watch television all day, eat steak, not violated one prohibition towards, not hasn't done anything wrong. But that's not a life of a Jew. That's a violation of Kedoshim to you. The Ramban says that's why the Torah says to be holy. And on the flip side of the coin, Vasita Yashar Vatov is our relationship between man and man. The Torah says, I should be nice to people, don't take revenge, I can't say everything. So the Torah says, do the right and the good, and Chazal derived from here, lifni mishur din, to do more than what the law demands. But anyways, that's Sefer Dvarim, Vasita Yashar. Chazal take Sefer Yashar and they apply it to Sefer Bereishit. So we'll just read it's only one page, but I just have one paragraph on one page. V'anyan din niper b'shirat hazinu, hasur tamim palo. God is a rock, a perfect hatsur tamim palo. His works are perfect. Sadiq v'yasharhu. God is a sadiq, and God is a yashar. And we, of course, have to emulate God. The shevach yashar, the phrase of being yashar, hu ne'amar l'hatsdik din ha'kadosh baruch hu b'churban bayit sheni. This is a wild idea. The Torah is this pasuk is, yeah, it's like a prophecy that it's to justify what God did during the Second Temple when He destroyed the Second Beit Hamikdash. We were a stubborn, a crooked generation. Uperashnu, and we explained. Shayut Sadiqim v'chasidim v'amalei Torah. The Jews of the Second Temple were pious, were righteous, and engaged in Torah. If you know the Gemara in Yuma, says, we know why the First Temple was destroyed, the three cardinal sins of idolatry, murder, and sexual impropriety, but why was this the second Beit HaMikdash Shayu Oskim Amelim v'Torah v'Oskim b'Gemilu Chasadim. They were engaged in Torah and Gemilu Chesed. The Jewish people did acts of kindness. So why was it destroyed? Because of Sinat Chinam. Obviously, that Gemara doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't that Gemara make any sense? Who's awake? Why does that Gemara make no sense? The Second Temple, when the Jewish people were involved in Chesed and learning Torah, so it was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. What's Sinat Chinam and Gemilu Chesed? What's the relationship between, you know, Chesed and Sinat Chinam? The Gemara says they were doing chesed. So what do you mean it was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam? You don't do chesed to people you don't like. The Gemara begins the discussion. The second time they were involved in chesed, so why did we destroy? That's because they weren't nice to each other. But the Gemara just said they were nice to each other. So the Nesiv doesn't directly ask the question, but that's the question he's struggling with for sure. Yes? I can't hear you. Ah, so that's what he's going to say. Good. The question has an answer. Peresh, so these people were righteous people, chasidim, ach lo ayu yusharim ba'alichat olamim. They weren't straight in, it's interesting how they translate in English, in their social dealings. They didn't get along well with people. Im kem mipnei sinat chinam shebelibam, because of the hatred that they possess within their heart, chashtu et misharu shenoheg shelo kedatam, they saw anybody who worshipped God in a way that they didn't worship God. Anybody who was slightly different than they were. In the fear of God, they were people who feared God, but just not in the way that they feared God. That person was a heretic. Ubal yadezeh, because of this, they came lidei shvichut amim b'derech haflagah. So it's a little unclear what they mean. They came to murder, shvichut amim b'derech haflagah. So maybe it means in a metaphor, they insulted people, which is akin to murder. Whatever, it's in the English, they translate it as actual murder. There was, of course, civil war going on, but whatever he means, it's not a good thing. And all terrible, evil things in the world, and because of that, the temple was destroyed. So that God is a yashar. God doesn't like people who are not yasharim. Because God is a yasharim, we weren't yasharim. We didn't get along one with another. That justifies God destroying the Beit HaMikdash. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yashar. This is the key phrase. It's if the Nesiv wouldn't, I couldn't say such a thing. It's too harif, but the Nesiv said it. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yashar hu, God is straight. They know so veil, tzadikim kelu. God can't stand righteous people. Ain't no sovel, right? Doesn't have any patience. Savlanut. He cannot tolerate sadikim keilu. These righteous people, God cannot put up with. Elu ba'ofen shochim b'derech yeshar. God only likes people who go in the path of the straight, who get along with people, who don't accuse everybody of being a heretic. Gam ba'alichat olam, in the ways of the world. V'lo ba'akmimut, and not like this. Got to be straight. Afal gav shehu l'shem shemayim. That's even though they're doing it for the sake of heaven. Remember, these people are tzaddikim. They are chasidim. They are oskim amelim b'torah. They're oskim in chesed. They're totally motivated for the sake of heaven. These people, he's an apikoros. I have to defend Judaism. Of course he's an apikoros. I have to do what I have to do. I can't get along with him. Of course, they were totally, purely motivated. Apagosh zezeh gorem chorban habriyah. This will cause the destruction of mankind. People who act against other people, it's a lot worse. When people fight l'shem shemayim, it's a much worse fight. Those fights can never end. It's a joke, but it isn't a joke. It's a tragedy. Machloket that's l'shem shemayim sofali hikayim will endure forever. When people fight for the sake of heaven, there are no bounds because you're fighting for the honor of God. So that's what the Nesiv is warning us against. In other words,
it's worse that it's l'shem shemayim. The fact God doesn't care. Who cares it's l'shem shemayim? They're hurting other people. They're not yashar. Zeh gorem chorban habriyah. You want to destroy mankind? Act l'shem shemayim. Act l'shem shemayim when you come to attack other people. I didn't say that. I'm just quoting him. V'harisek yishuv ha'aretz. And this will destroy the settlement of the land. And Netziv then goes on, what I didn't put here, to contrast this to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Who's Avraham Avinu? Praying for Sdom. I mean, Sdom? Pray for Sdom? You're going to pray for Sdom? Are you nuts? Sdom is the epitome of evil. The Torah describes Sdom, Ba'anshe Sdom ra'im v'chata'im la'shem o'od. The people of Sdom were evil and sinners to God very much, and Avraham Avinu is praying to save them. We would pray to wipe them out. So that's a yashar. By the way, I don't have a good answer to that question. I Taka wouldn't pray for Sdom. I'm not on the level of Avraham Avinu. It really is a hard question. But that's what he says. Sefer HaYashar. So, but the people in the Second Temple weren't Yasharim. So the first thing to point out, the doing a mitzvah l'shem shemayim is often a bad thing. La'olam yasok adam etor mitzvah shalo lishma. Do it not for the sake of heaven. Now, obviously, we want people to do it for the sake of heaven, but the sake of heaven is nowhere near enough, and often the sake of heaven can make matters a lot worse, because when you think you've got God behind you, nothing will stop you, you'll destroy the world. Churban HaBriyah, destruction of mankind. That's I first heard this, just to give credit where credit is due, from Rabbi Blau, the mashkiach, the longtime mashkiach at Yeshiva University, Rav Yosef Blau. I just saw his grandson this week in Camp Stone, but I remember Rabbi Blau. I heard this on Tisha B'Av from Rabbi Blau, and he said this should be posted in the entranceway to every Jewish institution. This idea of the Netziv is such a powerful idea. It's in one page, and that's why I said it's the most important piece, in my humble opinion, written in the last 200 years to read on Tisha B'Av. Okay, let's get back a little bit to the Gemara is like talking on a person should act. La'olam yasok adam v'hor mitzvah shelo lishma. You should always do it shelo lishma. Shemitoch shelo lishma ba'lishma. Okay. So Rav Chaim of Valazhin, I believe, has a comment I've also mentioned often. La'olam. What do you mean for la'olam yasok adam v'hor mitzvah? It said yasok adam. A person should be engaged shelo lishma. What's la'olam yasok adam? Forever a person should act lo lishma. So he points out, it is impossible for a human being to be 100% purely motivated. It's not possible. It's not human. We have all kinds of calculations. We have all kinds of... And the Gemara says there's nothing wrong with that. As we're going to see, most of these Gemaras actually see... The simple reading of the Gemara, with only one exception, is that Shelo Lishma is 100% equal to Lishma. Whereas the Gemara says, but it's the same thing. Who cares if it's Lishma or Shelo Lishma? It doesn't matter. In other words, la'olam yasoka, it's impossible for a human being to be 100% motivated for the sake of human. La'olam yasok, a person is always doing mitzvah shelo lishma. We're hoping eventually you move along the path. You move along the path from shelo lishma, but don't think you can ever get shelo lishma. That's why I always say, you know, you come on Tisha B'Av, I speak last, but you come on Tisha B'Av, do this better, improve, how are we going to do better? And I think it's impossible. It's like on Yom Kippur, you know, too much. How much can I improve? We understand people are human. We sin. Baruch Hashem, ein tzaddik bar tesher lo yechtah. There are no, I'm a big tzaddik, you sin, you know, everybody sins. And our sages were well aware of that. So I just want to very quickly go over some of the Gemaras, just inch for inch, we're taking them, where the Gemara talks about it. So I'll go, when I say chronological order. In other words, it's hard to know where if a statement appears seven times in the Gemara, you don't know what's the original context necessarily. Because the Gemara was, every page is sort of assumes knowledge of every other page. But if you start at a brak daf yomi, and we'll start at the beginning. There is no beginning, but whatever. So the first Gemara, it's cute. It's like a funny Gemara. This is the first one on the first page. Psachim 50b. Amar Rava, hani neshe de mechuza, afo pi de lo abdan, avidata, b'mala shabata, mishum pavnuk, nakutahu. The woman of Mechuza was a very wealthy city. Rava, Abaye and Rava. Rava lived in Mechoz. Mechoz was like a metropolis, well-to-do people. It was like a modern city in Babel. So the woman in Mechoza, they didn't work on Fridays. That was considered a positive thing. They didn't go to work. They could prepare for Shabbos or whatever. You know, they didn't have to rush home a half an hour before work. So, but why didn't they work? So they never worked. They never worked. They were, mefunakim. That's the word here. Mefnukuta. They were mefunakim. It says in English, pampering. That's how they translate it. Nunu. How you call yom anami lo abdan? They never went to work. Afilu hachi. No, they still get a reward for preparing properly for Shabbos. They still get the reward. You see the this is the one source that seems to imply there is a slight difference. Rava Rami, Rava, he said, who lived in Mechoza. Two psukim. One says, until the heavens. One says, beyond the heavens. So, to the heavens is when you do a mitzvah shalol. Kan bosim lishma, kan bosim shalol lishma. If you do a mitzvah lishma, you go beyond the heavens. If you go shalol lishma, you only reach the heavens. Not bad to reach the heavens. Kan amar Rav Yehuda, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Rav. Lo olam yasa kadam entor mitzvah, af al pi shalol lishma, shemitoch shalol lishma, ba lishma. Okay, I want to skip, I'm coming up at Gemara in Nazir in one moment, because that's a mind-boggling like Gemara. You turn to the next page, to Sota, the second, the source on the page, Sota Kaf Beit, 22b. Perush Me'ava, Perush Me'ira. Why doesn't the person, Perush Me'ava, a person does a mitzvah, not because he loves God, or he wants to get a reward. He Perush Me'ava, or Perush Me'ira. He separates from sin, not because it's wrong. He separates him because he's afraid he'll get punished, like your parents, your teacher, whatever. He's afraid God's going to punish him. He really is happy to eat non-kosher food. But he's afraid he'll burn in Gehenna, so he doesn't eat non-kosher food. So the Gemara says, who cares? Who cares? Don't say why people aren't doing mitzvot. Who cares? Couldn't care less why he keeps kosher. He keeps Shabbos. And here, there's no distinction. We don't judge people why they do the mitzvot. As long as they do it, we don't really care what they do. The next Gemara in Horius, it's an interesting Gemara. Marav Yehuda, Marav, lo lam yasa kadam tor mitzvot, afilu shalol lishma, shemitok shalol lishma, ba lishma. A person should always do mitzvot, right? You'll come to do it lishma. Shebishar mem beit korbanot sheikri balak. Very interesting. In the merit of the 42 sacrifices, you have to check in Parshat Balak, that Balak offered. Really, who offered them, Balak or Bilam, right? Anyway, the Gemara says, gives the credit to Balak. He was the one who hired Bilam, right? So in the merit of the 42 korbanot that Balak brought to God, Harasha, Balak Harasha, zacha v'yatzta mimenu root. He got merit. Root was his, is it root is Moab, Eglam, you know, root Hamoaviyah, right? So Balak is the ancestor of Root. And why? Because he offered sacrifice. Why did he offer sacrifice to God? Because he wanted Bilam to curse the Jewish people. This is not just shalol lishma. I mean, there's one thing, shalol lishma, you know, they're lazy women or lazy men. I mean, it's not, or they're doing mitzvot because they'll get a lot of money or whatever they're doing. This already, they're doing evil. Their intent is to do evil, right? He wants to curse the Jewish people. It doesn't matter. He brought sacrifices unto God, yes. We're getting there. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not finished. It's only the first half of the shiur. Okay. So so here you have Beschut Memta Korban. Balak wanted to harm the Jewish people, but he did a nice thing. He gets a root. I mean, root is like the greatest of all people, you know. Okay. Now we'll do the Gemara back to page one. The Gemara in Nazir is really needs an entire shiur and then some on its own. But we'll just touch upon it. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Gedola aveira lishma mi mitzvah shelo lishma. A sin done for the sake of heaven is greater than a mitzvah done not for the sake of heaven. So here it appears to be the opposite, right? In other words, a person who's purely motivated but sins. We'll see in a moment who we're talking about, what this is, okay. So the verse says, what do you mean? We learned, lolam yasok adam ator mitzvah shalolishma, who cares, shalolishma, lishma, it makes no difference. So you're right, ela ema, the last on the bottom, ki mitzvah shalolishma, an avera lishma, a sin for the sake of heaven, is just as great as a mitzvah done not for the sake of heaven. Okay, or a mitzvah apparently done for the sake of him. How do you know this? Tivarach minashim Ya'el, from Ya'el. Yeah, what did Ya'el do? She basically slept with Sisera, but that was a terrible sin. But she did it to save the Jewish people. So she did an Aveira, she did a very serious Aveira. She did it to save the Jewish people. Turn the page. Chaver k'nei minashim ba'o hel tivarach. So the pasuk says that Ya'el is more blessed, is more praiseworthy, minashim ba'ohel, from the woman in the tent. Who are the women in the tent? Who are the women in the tent? The imahot. Vayavo ohela el sarah batikach, right? V'nei ba'ohel, sarah v'nei both. By Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel, the Torah says they were in the ohel. So the ohel is a symbol of tzniut. They were modesty. They were in the home, right? Where Yaye Yishtachin, Neba Ohel. And Ya'el is going out, you know, into the Ohel of Sisera, bring him in, the Ohel of Sisera. Yet she's more blessed. She's greater, even though she did a terrible sin, because this terrible sin was done for the sake of heaven. Now, why is she greater than Sar? In other words, she's greater than Sar Rivka Rachav Leah. I didn't print the whole thing here. Because they acted shalolishma. Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel acted shalolishma. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Aveira lishma is Ya'el. The mitzvah shalolishma is Sarah, Rachel, and Leah. Why does Sarah, Rachel, and Leah act shalolishma? So Rashi explains, you know why they had kids? Because they were jealous. Batikane Rachel Bachota. She was jealous. You remember, you know how they named their kids Reuven, Shimon, you know, Simi. You know, they're playing with their kids again. It's an unbelievable Gemara. It's like frightening, right? They had children. Shalolashem Shemaim. They had children. You know, they're jealous. You know, Hagar. I'm going to throw Hagar out. They didn't do Lashem Shemaim. So yeah, they did a great mitzvah. They founded the Jewish people. We wouldn't be here. They're the imahot of the Jewish people. But they weren't. They weren't doing it for the of the Jewish people. That's not why they were. That's what the Gemara says. I don't make this up. So Ya'el is just as great. This Gemara is really on Aveira Lishma, which is an important concept. It reads a lot of work. It's got to be 100% sure. I'll just very briefly say, the Netziv, the same Netziv who fucked on Sefer Yashar, quotes that. When Yaakov stole the brachot of Esav, did he act mishma? So the Medrash says, what's the pasuk? Vayitza tzaka gedola amara. Where's that pasuk from? You have two answers to get it right, two choices. It's Esav. Right? When Esav comes back, I may be misquoting a word. He came back. He found, when he stole my brachot? Right? Where else did that pasuk appear? Mordechai. Right? Right? And we read in the Echatraf, right? That's Purim and Tishva have a lot to do with each other. That's another shir. So the Medrash says, you know why Mordechai cried a bitter cry? Because of what Yaakov Avinu did. When you act, it has implications for all of history. Don't think what we do now doesn't make a difference. Yaakov Avinu acted, and he was punished much later. 1,500 years later, the Jewish people were on the verge of annihilation. So they would see that, why? Wasn't this an Aveira Lishma? He had to get the Bechor away from Esav. I mean, his mother told him to do it. He was doing the right thing. Esav is a terrible person. What's wrong? Says, you're right. When his actions towards Yitzchak were L'shem Shemaim. His actions were Yitzchak. But you know what? He got a little bit of pleasure when he, you know, gave a knuck to Esav. Like he enjoyed that a little bit to get back at Esav. You know, he didn't, for Yitzchak, he didn't want to hurt Yitzchak. He felt terrible. He had hurt Yitzchak. But okay, that he was the Shem Shemaim. But with Esav, he wasn't the Shem Shemaim. You want to do an Aveira Lishma, La'olam Yasok Adam. It's not for us. We're not on such a level to do Aveirot Lishma. I mean, I don't want to say never, but anyways, but that's an important Gemara. But the Gemara's point is there's no difference, Lishma or Shalom Lishma. In other words, that's what the Gemara was doing in Nazir. Okay, so now to get to your question. So that's all very nice. So mitzvah Shalom Lishma doesn't really matter, Lishma or Shalom Lishma. However, if you turn to page 3, and I just, the bottom of page 2, Brachot Yud Zayin. The first half has nothing to do with the real, I mean, it's right before in the Gemara. There's also a beautiful Tisha B'Av idea. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. They said about Rav Yochanan Zakkai, Shelo Hikdimu Adom Shalom Eolam. Nobody ever beat him to say hello, greetings. You know, one of the laws on Tisha B'Av, you can't greet people, right? So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's great merit, he was always the first to say good morning. He was always on the lookout, right? Afilu, I don't think in the Gemara, this is a censored version, I think. Afilu akum, bashuk, or whatever. Even to non-Jews. Okay. Margalav apuma, that's an interesting comment either, but we won't address. So go to the top of the third page. Tachli chokma v'tshuva masim tovim shelo yedek adam korei v'shono v'veif aviv imo v'ro mishu gadom v'nechav k'minyon shenemar. Okay. Reshit chokma yoreda. The purpose of mitzvot is to make you a better person. Okay. They quote the pasuk that we say in the morning. Reshit chokma yoreda Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Sechel tov l'chol oseim. So the Gemara says la'osim lo nemar ela la'oseihem. To those who do it, la'oseihem. What does Gemara say? La'osim lishma, only people who do lishma. V'lo la'osim shalom lishma, but not for people who don't do mitzvot shalom lishma. V'chol la'oseh shalom lishma, noach lo shalom livra. Whoever does a mitzvah shalom lishma, it would have been better had he not been born. So this obviously basically contradicts everything we said up till now. I'm not the first one to raise this idea. We'll see. We'll just skip one Gemara. Gemara in Tanit, Tanya Rav Rabbana Omer Kol Osek V'Torah Lishma Torah Tono Selo Kesam Hachaim. A person who is engaged in Torah Lishma, his Torah is a potion of life. Shenamar Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Ba. We all know that pasuk. Quotes a few more pasukim. V'Chol Osek V'Torah Shelo Lishma. Whoever is engaged in Torah Shelo Lishma, Naset Lo Sam Hamavet. The Torah becomes a death potion. Right, because you can twist the Torah. If your motives aren't pure, you can take Torah and twist it. Everybody knows that. It's sort of like what the Netziv was talking. Well, he said they were doing it l'shem shemayim. But you have to have very pure motives because, I mean, you know, otherwise who knows what we can do. So the Gemara says it's a sam hamavet. It's a death potion. It would have been better had you not been born. So who wants to answer the question? We're going to give 3 answers, I think. 3 approaches. How do you solve the contradiction? You don't solve the contradiction. So it's often true. We don't solve all contradictions. Anybody? No? You have any ideas? I'm sorry? The dialectic. Tension, okay. Because Tosfot, every time this Gemara appears, I think pretty much every time this Gemara appeared, Tosfot asks this question. You know, when it says Shelo Lishma, but the Gemara says Lishma, it says it. So Tosfot's answer is there's a difference between 2 types of Shelo Lishma. There's Shelo Lishma because you want to be called the Rebbe. That's a very interesting Shelo Lishma. That says a lot about a society. In other words, you want to learn Torah, so people will call you a rabbi. Presumably that means you get a lot of honor and respect and who knows what, and money, I guess, right? That's the honor that people want. And that's a good Shelo Lishma. You want to pass a test. You want to get kavod. That's basically you want to get honor. That's an okay Shelo Lishma. What Shelo Lishma? That's a sam hamavet. Lekanter. What's the kanter mean? Contra. It's more than contra. It's like you want to show the guy. You want to show your teacher up. So you know. the guy's giving a shiur on something, so you go and prepare, like, you know, everything, so you know more than the person in the shiur, so you can embarrass him in public. So you can ask him a question he doesn't know. So that's lekanter. Or, as I believe, if I remember correctly, when Rav Aaron Soloveitchik once gave a shiur at YU, so he talked about you study Torah so you can become a Bible critic. In other words, the goal of studying Torah is to demonstrate that Torah is, you know, is a man-made document. So that's lekanter. That's the, you know, to schlug something up. So that would be better had you not been born. That was a death potion. But a person who just wants on, like most of us, like we said, lo lam yasak, we're not, how can we be motivated 100% for the sake of heaven? So that's okay. You want money, you want kavod, you want to impress people. Beautiful, beautiful. Lo lam yasak adam ator mitzvah shemitok shelo lishma ba'al lishma. That's okay, and can always go. That's one approach. A second approach, I don't know if it's true because I haven't seen this anywhere. I made this one up. But if you look carefully in the Gemara, when the Gemara talks about La'olam yasok adam v'torah u'b'mitzvot shelo lishma, shemitok shelo lishma ba'lishma. We should engage in Torah and mitzvot. When the Torah talks about the negative side, it says, kol ha'osek ba'torah lishma. It doesn't say, kol ha'osek v'torah u'b'mitzvot. In other words, it only says osek. So maybe it's meaningless, or maybe there's a difference. When you do mitzvot, it doesn't matter why you do it. You're doing the right thing. I give tzedakah, right? That's one of the classic examples. People give mitzvot shalom. They want their name on a building. Beautiful. You know, in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a psak halacha, that when you give a lot of money, you're obligated to let them put your name on the building. You're not allowed to be humble. You know why? That's the halacha. So machloket, the Mechaber and the Rama, and the Rama Paskins, halacha lemaisa, it's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. You can look it up in your day. Huh? The Rama Paskins, you have to put your name up. Why? Because people like kavod. People like kavod. And if they put your name up, the next guy's going to give his name for another building. You don't put up, and so when you're, that's false anivus. It's not proper anivus because you're not encouraging other people. You know, when Chat got their $5 million, they got years ago when they named the Wallenburn campus. So, you know, they had, when they had two campuses, but they had the Wallenburn campus and the Kimmel campus. The Wallenburn campus, again, because the family that gave the money didn't want their name recognized, and they wanted the kids in the school to pick the name. I was teaching in the school. They had five names: Yehuda Levi, Yitzchak Rabin, Chana Shenish, Wallenberg. I think I'm missing one. I can't remember the fifth one. And they assigned students, and they had a school assembly, and each group of students made a presentation about why Yehuda Levi is the greatest person, and why Yitzchak Rabin and Rav, you know. And they took a vote, and Wallenberg won. It was called the Wallenberg campus. And then they went to the family, and they begged the family to let them publicize their name, because it will help them in their families. And the family agreed. I don't remember who it was. Maybe somebody in this room. I don't remember who it was, but they did agree within their sort of fundraising material to publicize the name, because that, you want to raise money, people like kavod. So the halacha is, that's good. That's good. When you do a mitzvah, you're giving tzedakah. Who cares what the mitzvah? When you're learning Torah, that's different. Torah has no real application unless it's meant to be put into practice. That's a whole also, we don't have time to get into it, but Torah, so when you're learning Torah, intent and motivation is very important. Why you're learning Torah, to do mitzvot. So their lishma is important. When you're practicing Torah, who cares why you're practicing? When you're learning Torah, so maybe, I haven't seen that anywhere in the literature, but it's an idea I came up with. Yes, you had a question. Right. The Gemara does say that. When you give somebody a gift, you're supposed to let them know. Right. That's another thing. Correct. That's the Gemara says that. You shouldn't. That's why God let us know. He gave us the Mishnah in Perkei Avot. God created us, and then he let us know. Because when you give somebody a gift, you should let them know. He gave us Shabbos, a beautiful gift. He has to let them know. Let us know. Okay. Now I'll give the third answer. This answer is tough. Maybe I should have said it's a tough answer. It's really tough. The Netziv is the one who says it, the same Netziv who we started with. I don't have the source here, but it's in Chelek Aleph of his Shalish and Shuvas in Meshiv Davar. He was asked about basically what we would call a breakaway shul. Somebody sent him a letter. He doesn't like the shul, you know. Well, there's all kinds of reasons why people don't like the shul. You have to start a new shul. So then they see. So they asked the nitziv, are they allowed to start a new? That's already not bad. They went to ask the rabbi if they're allowed to start a new shul. No, that's already, they're pretty good. So then the nitziv writes, I should have put it, it says, Michtav kahigi alai, I don't know if I remember exactly, your letter, write me, Vayak ashan me'inai, there was smoke coming out of my eyes, I mean, ears, and I was like, I turned like white, and I nearly dropped dead. I cannot believe you're going to leave a shul over some ridiculous point and make your own shul. Right, are you crazy? And then he says, you know, the Gemara says, lo lam yasoka, that the person who does mitzvot shelo lishma is lo achno shano nivra. It would have been better had you not been born. But what about the Gemara that says it's okay to do shelo lishma? He says, well, it depends. If you're doing something, because it says so in the Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Torah, I have to give tzedakah, I have to keep Shabbos, I have to honor my parents, I have to do whatever. I can't talk lashon hara. So my motives are terrible. I don't have a choice. This is what I have to do. So then everything's okay. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, doesn't matter. You want to innovate. You want to start a new shul. Oh my gosh. Then you have to do lishma. Who asked you to start a new shul? Who asked you to start a new shul? When Rav Schachter quoted us this tshuva, where he heard it from, he said, who asked you to become the president of the shul? So, no, who asked you to become the president? You want to become the president of the shul? Better do it lishma. You want to write a sefer? You better do it lishma. Nobody asked you. No obligation to become president to write a sefer. I don't know how far you want to carry it. It's a very scary thought. But that's what he said. When you're innovating, that's when you have to ask lishma. When you're not, when you're doing what you have to do, everything okay. I don't know that we accept this 100%, but I throw it out there. It's a powerful idea. There's for sure a lot of truth to it. And we actually say it every Shabbos morning. When you're osek b'tzarchei, this is really not exactly what he's saying, but this is all add on. I think that this is the most important time. You have to act lishma. This is to answer the question. When you're osek b'tzarchei tzibur, when you're dealing with the community, which is the most important thing a person can do, by the way, more important than learning Torah. Then the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, V'chol oskim b'tzar, in Perek Beit, Mishnah Aleph there. If you're osek b'tzarchei tzibur, you get all the rewards. The Zchut Avot helps you. Why? Because when you're osek b'tzarchei tzibur, you can't do lots of mitzvot. You can't learn. You can't. There are lots of things you can't do. It takes up all your time. It doesn't matter. Working with the tzibur is more important, but that has to be done. I always say, our nusach is so beautiful. That's how you say it. You have to stress. The stress is, kadosh baruch hu, right? So you have to osek b'tzarchei be'emunah. L'shem shemayim, why? Why is it so important to be osek b'tzarchei tzibur be'emunah? Oh, this is a keynote book, okay. I wonder. Because when you're osek b'tzarchei tzibur, you know what you have to do? You have to hurt people. That's what it means, osek b'tzarchei tzibur. You have to hurt people. Because you have to make decisions for the benefit of the community, and it's impossible to benefit everybody. If you're going to give more money to healthcare, you're cutting from education. Give more to healthcare, you're cutting in the military. Give more to the military, you're cutting from our social services. You give more to, I mean, it's impossible. So whenever you're involved in, whenever you make decisions that affect a lot of people, you are hurting somebody. But that's your obligation. That's okay. You have to do what's best. But if you're hurting somebody, shelo l'shem shemayim, oy vay vay, oy vay vay. A person's hurting somebody because it's good business interests, it's his brother-in-law, he knows this, he gets gifts, whatever, you know. Now, you want to be a politician? You better be a big tzaddik. Better be a big tzaddik, because you're going to be involved. You want to be a principal of a school, even. You're going to have to fire people. That's what you have to do. It's sometimes, yeah, your boss, you have to fire people. It's sad, but that's life. Nothing wrong with that. The halacha allows for that, if it's done in the proper way. But it has to be done for the right reason. So there is osik b'tzarchei tzibur. You know, there is sometimes you're doing based on lishma. Who cares? We're not all motivated. But you're dealing and you're going to be hurting people. You want to go beyond what you have to. You want to go. So this is very hard. This is very hard. I don't really know how to, like, we can't fully live up to this. But I think it's a very important message. And I don't want somebody saying, I'm not going to go into public life because I'm not purely motivated. I just said it's impossible to be purely motivated. You don't have to be purely motivated. But you have to be motivated pretty well. We all know there's, like, you know, there's somebody, of course, do I know if I'm purely motivated? But there's a big difference between that and the guy, you know, how things work often, that they do what's totally they know is wrong. They totally know is wrong. I'll just say I don't like to, but it's... Tisha B'Av is a national tragedy. Politics. This week, I don't want to go on the whole case. I'm sure many of you know. They accused one of the cabinet ministers in the state of Israel of protecting a pedophile. I'm sure many of you heard that. So they asked, nobody criticized this person. So a member of the Likud came out in public and said, criticize? Are you crazy? We have an election coming up. We may need this party in our coalition. We're not going to criticize. I mean, I read that. I wanted to cry. He's not even embarrassed to say it. He said, this is politics. We're gonna criticize him for protecting a pedophile if in a month from now we're going to have to negotiate. So this is very sad. I don't want to end on a sad note, but it's important to know motivation can be meaningless. It can be the most important thing you do. You have to know when you're going to be, when you're dealing with people's lives, that motivation is very important. I want to end off. There's more to discuss, but it's getting late. I wind up with a beautiful piece of the Egle Tal. This is on the back page. The Egle Tal, anyone know what the Egle Tal was? This is in his introduction. Egle Tal was the Yavnei Nezer, the same person. Who was he? Rav Avraham Sukhachev, the Sukhachev Rebbe. He was, I believe, Rabbi Price from this city, learned with the Yavnei Nezer when he was a child, right? Bornstein, Rav Avram Bornstein, that's right, very good. The Sukhachev Rebbe, he was a major Talmid Chacham, he was a Hasidic Rebbe, a Gadol B'Torah. So in his introduction to the Egle Tal, he has a beautiful piece. I'll read it quickly. I don't have it in English, they don't have it in English. I want to tell you what some people make a mistake. When they come to learn Torah, they say, a person who learns and he loves to learn, he gets joy. That's why you can't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av theory, because you get joy, right? And he gets joy. That's not so much lishma. If you enjoy doing the mitzvah, then it's not for the sake of heaven. You enjoy it. Lishma means for the sake of heaven. They said, this is a mistake. We better, some of you say, just for the mitzvah, because God said so, that's why I learn. Somebody who loves learning, he's mixing in personal pleasure, and that's wrong. This is a terrible mistake. The basic, the most important principle in learning Torah is to love Torah. Because if you love something, you'll do it. You have to, that's the mitzvah means to pikudei Hashem yisharim v'sam chaylev. L'yot sas v'sameach u'mitaneg. Right, all this. And then they get into our kishkas, you know, they go into our blood. He's glued to Torah. This is a beautiful thing. And he says, haray, so I skipped a couple lines. He talks about this, the importance of loving learning, and then he implies the same thing to doing a mitzvah. That the joy of doing lishma. Sholishma means that we should love what we do. We should keep the Torah because it's a beautiful Torah. Torah Hashem, Tamima, it's not always easy. We deal with other people, we deal with our own things, and we can't always be properly motivated, and most of the time that's wonderful. It doesn't make a difference. Sometimes you have to be very careful about it. But if we enjoy it and love it, it'll be part of us, and we should be zochet to have lots of simcha in Torah, mitzvah, and everything we do throughout the year. Thank you.